In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God
forever. Today in the church, we celebrate the fathers of the Seventh Ecumenical Council, the Holy Fathers who met in the city of Nicaea. Now, at that time, there were people who said that icons were nothing more than idols, that they should be destroyed. And in fact, some of them actually did go into churches and destroy icons. They were called iconoclasts. And the Holy Fathers met in council and defended the proper use of icons. Without them, we might not have icons in our church today. I mention all this because these wise and holy men and the icons that they defended, these lead us into our gospel lesson today. There's a symbol on certain icons that perfectly illustrates what happened in our gospel lesson. It's a symbol many of you might remember. It's that almond-shaped, bluish-white halo that's in the middle of certain icons. I have an icon of the resurrection right here. It's this bluish almond-shaped symbol that's in the middle of several of our icons. It's again on the banner up in our church here. It's in the Dormition icon. It's in the Transfiguration icon behind Tom back there. It's in several of the icons, this almond-shaped center. And one of the meanings of this shape is the overlapping of two circles, or more accurately, the overlapping of two spheres. And the overlapping section is this almond shape. And this morning, I made two circles out of paperboard, and you can see when they overlap, you get an almond shape in the middle. See, that almond shape in the icon is formed by this overlapping of two circles. Now, those two circles, these two spheres are heaven and earth. One represents heaven, one represents earth. It's the divine and creation. It's God and mankind. And certain grace-filled events take place in the intersection of God and man, in this moment when divine perfection touches our broken humanity. So it's this element of the icon that pertains to our gospel lesson that we heard this morning. I want to think about the intersection when God touches his creation. What happens? And how does this pertain to our gospel lesson? Now, in the story that we just heard, there are two processions going on. First, there's a funeral procession. At the gate of the city of Nain, a dead young man, is being carried out in a funeral procession by all the mourners. He was the only son of his mother. And she's a widow, we hear, so her husband has already died. She's going to be left alone. And a large crowd of mourners were walking with her from the city to the cemetery. Now, this funeral procession coming out of the city represents one of these spheres, one of these circles. It's the earthly, the broken. It's a circle of sickness. It's a circle of pain, a circle of darkness and of grief and of mourning and of loss and of abandonment and loneliness and worry and anxiety, all those things that accompany death in this world and all those things that accompany brokenness are represented in this procession leaving the city and going out to the cemetery. And of course, the ultimate enemy is that death. But there's a second procession. As this procession is going out of the city, there's another procession coming into the city. And this procession, it said in our gospel reading, also consisted of a large crowd and the disciples of the Lord. But instead of escorting a dead young man who was his mother's only son, this procession is escorting Jesus, who also happens to be his mother's only son, but is the giver of life. And this procession with Jesus represents the other circle, the other sphere. This one, the divine, the sacred, the life-giving, the eternal sphere. And because of the presence of Christ, it is the circle of light and of healing and comfort and community and the love of God and, of course, the ultimate gift, life itself. And these two processions, there's one coming out of the city, and there's another one going into the city. They meet at the gate. I mean, if you can picture it, you have this joyful procession coming into the city and this funeral procession coming out, and they meet at the gate. Who gets to go first? Who's going to go in? Who's going to give way to the other people? So they come to a stop. It couldn't be more different, these two processions. And they come to a stop right at the gate of the city of Nain. They're blocking each other. One procession, one circle all festive, the other circle in deep grief. It was probably quite awkward for some of them. You know, what do we do? Who gives way? Meeting at the gate, blocking each other's way, totally opposite mood and experience. And then in that moment, Jesus does something extraordinary. First, he sends words from one circle to the other. You know, they're right here. And he sends words across from one circle to the other. He says to the mother of the dead boy, he says, "Do not weep. Do not weep." He sends word first. Word goes over from one to the other. The words cross from the divine circle to the human circle. Do not weep. Now, in any other context, that would be highly offensive. Do not weep at a funeral. In this context, something else is going on. Something else is about to happen. Because in the next moment, those two circles meet. They intersect. You might even say they collide. Heaven crashes into earth. Jesus goes up and he reaches out and touches that open coffin. The one circle crosses in to the other. He touches that boy's coffin. And with that touch, the circles overlap. Earth meets heaven, grief meets joy, death meets life, mankind meets God. Death had taken a boy, and the hand of God reaches in and takes him back. Reaches in and takes him back. And then the ripple effect. Grief is turned into celebration, mourning into joy. Earth becomes the kingdom of heaven, and the little town of Nain becomes the dwelling place of God. And this is just one of the reasons those holy fathers of the Seventh Ecumenical Council defended icons, so that we would have a visual aid to remind us of these truths, because we sometimes fail to see them. You know, in this case, that divine perfection enters our human frailty. It's a reminder that this was not just an isolated event in some city called Nain 2,000 years ago, but something that we should expect daily. This is something that we should expect in our daily lives, that the Lord will stretch out his divine hand into your life daily, especially when it is rough, especially when it is mournful, especially when it is anxiety-ridden, and especially when it is dark. That's when we should expect the hand of the Lord to reach out across. And to the extent that we don't see his hand in our life daily is the extent to which our eyes are closed. To what, you know, if ever I can't see the grace all around me, you know, please take my hands off my eyes, because the grace is there. The grace is there. And next Sunday, we'll talk a little more about why we don't always see that grace. The parable of the sower is next Sunday, which is full of the reasons we sometimes fail to see that grace. Why we fail when we're in one circle to see the other one coming in. Why we fail to see the divine entering our earthly lives. But let it suffice for today that the grace does come, even in your darkest hour. It is the witness of the gospel. It is affirmed and illustrated in our icons. It is the very nature of Jesus Christ himself. Amen.
Amen.